Hello and welcome to Girls That Invest, the platform that empowers millennials through financial literacy. You're joined today by your hosts, Sim and Sonia, two millennial investors who are extremely passionate about all things investing and personal finance.
So today we are talking about the infamous Reddit v Wall Street news that captivated everyone for weeks and still a story that people are keeping their eye on. We realise we're a little bit late to the discussion, but it's still an important series of events that we feel need to be understood, especially what impacts it has on us as regular investors and what impacts it will have for future.
Probably one of 2021's biggest stories. I mean, it is only February, but in saying that, this start of the year feels a lot better than the last start of the year. And what I really love about this story is it's kind of like that whole idea of like the little guys banding together and showing power in numbers. So I'm very excited to talk about this today.
It's going to be a good one. Before we get into all the juicy tea, how are you? How's this week gone? Any updates on house hunting?
I have been looking every day during every break, just like refreshing the Trade Me app. I have like my notification on every time a house turns up. I literally had a real estate agent, like today a house went up. Probably in like 3 minutes, I like messaged the agent like, hey, can I come check this out? And she was like, da 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 da, we're not gonna bring anyone in until like the open home on the weekend. And then she told me to like relax.
They probably like, have you as like one of the, what's it called when you're on a blacklist?
Okay, thanks.
She's like, just watch out for this chick, you know?
It wasn't even that bad of it. All I said was literally, I said, hey, I'm getting in touch regarding X and X Street. Just wondering if I could have a look today or tomorrow evening. Cheers. And she was like, oh, she said, do not panic.
Sounds a bit too forward to me. No, that's totally fine. I don't know why she's like, relax. She's like, chill.
She's like, bro, it's been 5 minutes.
I posted it a second ago.
And then yesterday I like went to see a house and I'm like, it's not the nicest area, but like I'm not one to discriminate. And then I searched up the street afterwards and a neighbor had literally killed another neighbor on the street.
Okay, but do they still live there?
You know what? Every time I bring this up, everyone keeps trying to justify the murder. They're like, yeah, but it was 10 years ago. Yeah, but like, if it's happened once, it won't happen again. Like, leave me alone.
I'm not trying to justify the murder. I'm just saying I don't think that should be an issue living in that area moving
forward.
You
say that,
you know?
Can you say that one more time so I can hear you? So the murder isn't an issue?
I'm just saying the murder is definitely an issue. Hopefully, you know, that person was brought to justice and the appropriate legal proceedings, you know, occurred. I'm saying that they don't live there anymore.
Oh my god. All right, so that's how house hunting
moving
is going.
Forward. She's like, we'll argue about this offline.
I don't want to live where someone died. I'm sorry.
Okay, realistically, every area is where someone died. You know, what if someone just died in their sleep in that house? So what's new with me? I'm so glad you asked. So Auckland ended another lockdown. We got put back into level 3 for 3 days. Midnight, Valentine's Day, which was fun and British. Not that I was doing anything. But
it's not like you were on a date.
Absolutely not, you know. Literally, I was telling Sim this. I had 2 cookie crumbles. I think I was watching to All the Boys I've Loved Before on Netflix. I was just having a classic single gal Valentine's Day, and they announced lockdown, and I was like, fun. It was only for 3 days. They actually literally just announced today that we're going into level two from tomorrow, and the rest of the country goes into level one. So level two is quite normal. So to get into it, I am going to start off with a little bit of jargon, and I'll keep it as clear as possible, and hopefully as simple as possible as well. It is necessary to go through, I guess, the terms first, because the tea just won't make sense otherwise. Okay, so starting with a hedge fund. A hedge fund is nothing more than an investment company that invests its clients' money into alternative investments to either beat the market or provide a hedge against unforeseen market changes. There is a lot more to that, but I'm going to keep it at that. So if you just think of it as a company that invests in with someone else's money. Shorting a stock. Okay, so shorting a stock, or short selling. Now the concept, I think, is fairly simple to understand. It's when an investor borrows a stock and then it sells that stock and then it buys that same stock back to return it to the lender. So short sellers, or people who short sell, they're betting that the stock they sell will drop in price. Does that make sense so far?
I'll be honest, the borrowing a stock, selling a stock, and then buying a stock back kind of went over my head.
I'm just going to use Tesla as an example, if that's okay. So essentially, what happens is that brokers, they borrow, just say, $10 of Tesla stock. From that borrowed stock, they sell it to investors for $10 because they assume that the price of that Tesla stock will drop, so they get to keep $10. Now, other investors, what happens is, just say the price does drop, so they estimated correctly, and the price of that Tesla stock drops to $7. The hedge fund then buys that same stock that they sold for $10 back from investors for that dropped price of $7. So they start off with $10.
Mm-hmm. I'm still with you.
Okay, cool. And they start off with $10. They paid $7. They get to keep that $3 profit. And then at the end, they just give the stock back that they borrowed as if they never bought it, and that they keep the profit.
Easy. Easy.
Beautiful. Now, moving on to Reddit. So for those of you who don't know, Reddit is essentially a discussion website where you talk about various different topics, and essentially users from all across the world, they can jump in, they can comment, they can vote up and down certain topics or certain comments. And back on January 27th, this forum called Wall Street Bets, they realized that hedge funds were dumping a lot of money into GameStop for a hopeful drop. So GameStop is an American video game or consumer electronics and gaming merchandise retailer. Now, what happened is this forum, Wall Street Bets, had over 1 million users. They essentially decided to stick it to the man, and they reversed what the hedge funds were doing. And as a result, they drove the stock up and they forced hedge funds to either lose money or double down, which drove the price higher. From them doing that and from them working together to do that, GameStop was up more than 1,700% since the start of January. Can you believe that's an actual percentage, Sim?
That is crazy. And just for those that are a little bit confused as to how they drove the price up or how it caused hedge funds to double down, imagine if, like we were saying, they had $10, they were expecting it to drop down to $7, and they were going to make a $3 profit. Imagine if the price went up to $15 and now they owed the investors $5 because they had $10 and now it's gone up to $15. That is what everyone did by buying into GameStop.
Mm. That's That's what happens when we work together, kids.
It's also what some people call market manipulation.
So essentially, you can probably guess that hedge funds weren't happy about this, to put it lightly, to put it into perspective for you. I'm just trying to be polite here. To put it into perspective for you.
Billionaires cried. Think about what they went through.
Literally tears. So hedge funds and other short sellers, they were nursing estimated losses of around, and get this, it's $19 billion in 2021. Losses of $19 billion. Now, I can't really comprehend that much money, but it's a lot of money. Like, imagine betting that this stock was just going to drop. And then this happened.
Imagine just being like, I have the greatest idea of 2021, Ma. Like, I just joined this amazing hedge fund and I'm going to pitch them this idea. GameStop is dying and we're going to make billions, Ma. I wonder if he's fired.
So GameStop's more than, I believe the percentage that I used was 1,700 surge. It sent Malvern Capital, which is a well-known hedge fund. It ran for a bailout and it hit other hedge funds such as 0.72 and D1 Capital Partners. It was
monumental.
I was going to say beautiful. That's not the right adjective. Monumental. Never happened before. So fast forward to January 29, a cool 2 days later, Robinhood decided to shut down its trades at its peak. No wonder you have a 1-star rating at the moment, hun. But essentially Robinhood decided to restrict buying certain stocks, and that caused so much controversy. And it actually led to also people calling out politicians and public figures, and the app being review bombed, which is why it has a 1-star rating, because it just feels like a slap in the face when a platform that its entire brand was bringing regular people into investing. And, you know, there was that tweet circulating like, you know, let the people invest. And I guess their whole branding was to educate people, that when they turn around and did that 2 days after, like, I'm sure they had reasons for it, you know, it did feel just quite belittling, to be honest.
Their entire branding and the reason they're so popular is making it more accessible for everyday people to get into the game. And
yeah, they're called Robin Hood, not Batman. Ugh, anyways.
What does that mean?
Batman's a billionaire. Oh, he doesn't have any. Yeah, he doesn't have any superpowers. He's just rich. That's his superpower. So the day that the restrictions were put into place, so January 29th, the GameStop stock, it closed in at $325. The day before that, it was $53.50. So I guess from January 29 to now, you could argue that the rush is over in terms of like trying to get in to that particular stock. So that's essentially what happened.
So I guess the $1 million question is, now that GameStop is over, what's staying? Like, is the market forever changed? Has this caused such a huge dent in what the fundamentals of investing are? Or is it just a little blip and, you know, game's over, move on? So I think one of the things that's really important to understand is even some of the big shots believe that some things are here to stay. Jim Cramer, if you haven't heard of him, he is someone who has a lot of opinions on the stock market, rightfully so. And even he, quote unquote, said the entire character of the market has changed. And yes, in many ways, GameStop has resembled a couple of bubbles in the past, like the dot-com bubble. But It's a little bit different this time because what's new is one, the scale, and two, the speed of these events. We now have a platform or a place for a lot of people to come together, to share ideas, and in a way band together in a way that retail investors couldn't before. That's new and that's not going away anytime soon. Also being able to invest has never been easier now that there are a lot of commission-free, not so much in New Zealand, but in other countries, commission-free trading apps. You just need to have a phone and the internet at this stage to do these things. What's different this time, and what I believe, I guess this is more of a personal opinion about what's here to stay, is the fact that young investors are a little bit more socially conscious, and a lot of this GameStop activity, obviously for some, was motivationally driven by money, but a lot of people also kind of just wanted to stick it to the man and be a part of something larger, and there was an ethical component to it. And another thing to take into account is that because of all this attention sort of put into one platform or the ability for everyone to come together, it kind of highlights the idea of maybe regulating these online platforms and how they do drive the market. Because to be fair, a large number of people saying let's all put money into this can come across as market manipulation, sort of pump and dump. It's not necessarily saying that's what happened, and it's not saying that that's what people are going to be charged with, but there's no reason why the authorities would not be monitoring, or possibly monitoring, these things a little bit more closely and taking action if need be.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement, because if you think about it, these people had such an influence, and like, I guess the big guys lost out on this time, so I wouldn't be too surprised if they kept a close eye on it. Tends to happen with a lot of things, you know.
I guess going forward, do you think that hedge funds will also be a little bit more careful going forward?
That is a very good question, and I think a lot of people are wondering, or wondered the same thing. Andrew Left, who is the head of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Citron Research. They were a company that was actually shorting GameStop at the time. He put out a video to Twitter, and essentially in that video, he admitted defeat, which I thought was interesting because that's saying a lot. He said in that video that he or hedge funds will be more judicious when it comes to shorting stocks. You know, it doesn't mean that industry or that strategy is dead. It just means that they need to be more specific. He did say that they have some ideas up their belt, or ideas in the future, which I guess they're trying to implement, because you can imagine that they went straight to the drawing board. Like when this happened, I just imagine them all sweating in front of a whiteboard.
Do you know what I think of? I think of Michael Scott from The Office, and he's just like, everyone, conference room now.
Another interesting perspective is Andrew Beer, who is the managing member at Dynamic Beta Investment. So they're an investment firm and they follow some hedge fund tactics. So he did an interview with Insider and they put out this article, and essentially he describes the entire thing as the dynamic of a mob attack with a new minefield, which I think is an interesting way to describe things. But to pull a quote directly from that article, he says, hedge funds will be much more cautious about crowded shorts, and the prospect of losing 500% in a few weeks changes the calculus. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
I guess the question that a lot of people also have is, what will happen if this happens again? What will things like Robinhood or other brokers do if they are in the situation again? Can they just stop or halt
sales of stocks if they feel like it. Long story short, at this stage, there's no final verdict because we are still waiting on, I guess, the legal side of things to see what the SEC ends up saying. Basically, there's two reasons when an exchange or a broker might stop trading a stock. The first is when, at the company's request, trading is stopped. For example, a company like Facebook is about to make a big announcement and they're like, look, after the announcement, let's wait X hours before people can buy or sell our stock to give them, I guess, a moment to process it. Another is when the stock becomes extremely volatile and it's moving very up or it's moving very down very quickly. And that's kind of what happened. And usually this halt happens automatically. The SEC also has the power to just halt trading themselves, but it's not usually something they do often. So in this case, what happened, or at least what Robinhood have officially said, is that the restrictions weren't them just trying to stop small investors from jumping in, or because they were trying to save the billionaires, but also they would never say that. Their reasoning, which, you know, we do have to take on to some extent because there is truth to this. To be a broker, I guess there's some truth. The brokerages have to have enough cash on hand to cover a certain percentages of their trades on their platforms. And if they just don't have enough cash, they have to literally, not that they've ever really done this before, but they do have to stop because they have some form of responsibility to the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. So on one hand, there was some practical need to halt trading, and going into the future, if that has to happen again, it has to happen again. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot and go bankrupt or get shut down over this. On the other hand, there are absolutely people, including people that work in very high up places, including government officials, including politicians, who do not think what Robinhood did was okay and do think it's a form of market manipulation. So long story short, can this happen again? Yes. Is it right or wrong? We don't know yet, but it will be really interesting to see what happens.
I guess, you know, to play devil's advocate here, if anyone in New Zealand...
I didn't realise you were a white male.
Ew. Oh my God, ew. Look, I'm not, but how else was I supposed to say it? I'm brown. I was just going to say to kind of put it into a Kiwi perspective, if you are familiar, it's kind of like how most companies need to meet certain amount of money for reserves with the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. So for example, insurance companies, they need to make sure that they've got a certain amount of backup money, you could say, to pay out if anything happened. And if anything happened to their profits, they've got kind of got the spare cash or backup that they can pull from if they needed to pay out in claims. So I kind of get it. I wish it didn't take as long to communicate that message, though, because I think people was just sitting in those raw emotions.
For sure. So to summarise, I know we covered a lot today. Thank you for bearing with us, and I hope you learned a lot. Quick recap. So of course what happened with GameStop was that hedge funds were like, let's make money on the stock dying down. People from this forum on Reddit realised this, kind of came together in a big group and caused the stock to skyrocket, which inversely caused hedge funds to lose how many billion?
19, it was.
A cool 19 billion.
An easy 19 million. Billion, oh my God.
Very quick, very beautiful. And as a result, the sort of after effects of this were, you know, the possibilities of some of these things being almost a change in the market and changing some of the fundamentals in the market. the ability for people to band together, but also the ability for people to regulate the sort of online activity, it's definitely going to be causing hedge funds to be a little bit more careful with who they're shorting and how often they're shorting. And I guess going forward, will this ever happen again? We don't know, but it will be very interesting to see the legal outcomes that come from what Robinhood and a lot of other brokers sort of did to respond.
I just know that the government are like prioritizing this, eh? They're like, we need to prioritize this before it happens again in the near future.
I think they'd be wise to.
Yeah. I'm just going to finish off with a disclaimer. So just a disclaimer, girls, that Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We're not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider any individual circumstances. Always do your research and please use your due diligence. Is that us?
Alright. Till next week, Sonia.
Till next week, Sim. Bye.